Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you'd open up your bulletin in the center section, you'll find a copy of this morning's sermon notes. Well, this is Palm Sunday. And the contrast between what happened in our lives today, the welcoming and the praising of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, is in sharp contrast to the experiences of the rest of the week. Sometimes we go through the motions so much of Easter and of Holy Week, we sometimes lose the significance or the deep meaning about who we are and about sometimes even how fickle we are. I mean, imagine what transpired. Imagine how the story unfolds. Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem. The crowds gather because finally this prophet is coming into Jerusalem. And they have great expectations, and people almost spontaneously start to welcome him with these palm branches, with shouts of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. King David is finally coming back. The glory days are coming, just like we thought they were going to, just like they used to be. But Jesus brought a different message. He didn't bring the message that everybody was paying their money for. He brought a different message. And what we find is how quickly, when our expectations, when God doesn't meet our expectations, how quickly it can all fall apart. And within a week, the crowds that had shouted Hosanna quickly started to shout Crucify. And the thing that we have to realize is that nugget of discontent, that nugget of critical spirit resides in each and every one of us. And we have to deal with that on a day like today. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the questions that Jesus asked people. And today, we're going to face one of the most important questions that he asked his disciples. It was, in my opinion, one of the turning points for the disciples in understanding and beginning to open up their mind to who Jesus was and what he was really all about. This morning, especially on Palm Sunday, when you have your little palm cross, you have to ask, what does it mean to you? What is its significance to you? So this morning we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to allow Jesus to speak and to challenge us. And hopefully this morning as we begin to open up His Word, we will find a new spirit that's awakening in all of us. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Again, one of the things I want you to pay attention to, this is going to be a reading from Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. When you read through the Gospels, you want to pay a particular attention to the information that is presented to you. The details are always significant, okay? When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, awaken us this morning. in this Palm Sunday, as our spirits are lifted, as you have come into our church and into our lives, we now turn our thoughts to the meaning of having you in our life. We pray, O God, that you will awaken us by your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about questions. And some of the questions that Jesus asked were, as we started off, we talked about the Socratic method. Sometimes Jesus asked questions, not looking for just information, but as a way to dig deeper, to invite the listener to consider their answers in terms of a bigger picture, their worldview. Why do you believe that? And so sometimes Jesus would go to the man who was at the colonnades and says, "Do you want to get well? Are you sure that your life story is leading where you want it to go? What are the impact of the choices that you're making?" And so this morning, as we take this journey through Lent, we have to say, what is the outcome of the path that you are currently on? Where is it leading you? Could you stand this morning before God and say, this is the path that I have chosen, and I am proud that I have walked this as well as I have? Jesus came to a woman who was at the well who was kind of as an outcast. Her life had kind of fallen apart, and she had gone from relationship to relationship to relationship, and she was kind of embarrassed by who she was and how life had turned out. And Jesus encountered her and asked her a very simple question: "Will you give me a drink?" And a flood of emotions came back of, "Who am I that you should ask these things? I'm nobody." And Jesus rebuilt her life and began to move her in another direction. You see, some of the questions that Jesus asked, we can consider almost intellectually. We can think about them, and we can diagram them, and we can parse the words differently. But sometimes Jesus hits us very squarely, as he does in this passage. And I want to kind of set the tone for you a little bit, because it's important that we understand where Matthew places this story. Matthew tells us specifically that when Jesus arrived at Caesarea Philippi, now, he doesn't just say the Galilee or doesn't say the general region, he tells us a particular city. And we know that Caesarea Philippi was a Roman city about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. It was in a very strong Roman area. As a matter of fact, the city was built to honor Caesar. But it was different than Caesarea, which was near the coast. It was Caesarea Philippi. It was the city of Philip given to Caesar. And so it had a strong Roman dominating flavor to it. It also had passed through many hands. There were many temples in this area, temples to the gods of Baal. There's a cave there that the springs for the Jordan River flow out of. And so it was thought to have, there was a center of worship at that cave. It was for the Greek god Pan that there was a temple there for him. And so this city had many, many different temples, many different gods. And so Jesus takes his disciples to the center of world religion, surrounded by all kinds of temples. And he says, "Who is the Son of Man when you are surrounded by all of this?" And I thought about, what would it be like if Jesus were to take us to the center of financial planning? Right? Financial domination. He took us to Wall Street, or he took us to the center of Broad Street with all of the lights, and he said, "Now, you tell me, what is the most important thing in your life? Who is Jesus when you are surrounded by all of this? What does it mean to you?" And the disciples didn't really know. They said, "Well, you know what the crowds are saying. Some think John the Baptist, who was killed by Herod. Some think Elijah, who is considered one of the great prophets and is actually prophesied by Micah in Micah chapter 4, that Elijah will come back, or Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who's going to restore and warn people." But basically, the crowds don't know. We don't know. And then he hones in to the question that we just can't avoid. Because you can't just say intellectually it's one thing or another, because it's being played out even today by how you have chosen to live. You can't just answer it one way and live another way. Your actions give it away. And so Jesus looks at his disciples and he said, "But what about you? Who do you say I am? What is your life about? What path are you willing to travel on? Now, the impact of that little question, and maybe we can wrestle and say, well, we want to live one way, but we live in this world and we have different forces that are acting upon us. But Jesus is asking us to go even deeper. And he's challenging us not only to think about who God is, who Jesus is, but in our relationship to him. And there's a couple of things that I want us to pull out of that this morning, especially on Palm Sunday. Especially as you sit there, hopefully with a palm cross, and say, what would I have done with this on that Sunday? Would you be the person to sing hallelujah, to follow the crowds, not really knowing where they're going? Or would you understand that this is the way, no matter where it leads? The first thing that I want us to kind of understand about what is transpiring is there are several different options that you can think about that will answer this question. When you ask a question, who do you say that I am? There are different responses that come out very easily. The first one is often the public response, the public opinion. And we have to ask, is our faith based on a public opinion? We go around, we say, well, what does everybody want to do? Let's take a poll, right? Let's ask, what do most people want? It's the most popular answer. Who is Jesus in our life, in our culture? Who is Jesus? Well, he's what everybody says he is. It's the most popular, and it's usually the least offensive. We want to be liked by everybody. And so we go with the crowd. The next one is probably what I would have called the party opinion. The small faction group. They tend to want to be seen as separate from everything. They want to be against everything. And so very often they are the least popular because they're a small group. We're against whatever everybody else is for. Sometimes they're the people that are out picketing no matter what, and they just kind of want to have a stand no matter what everybody else thinks or does. They tend to be the smallest and also the most offensive, because they want to be seen as different in and of themselves. But somewhere in between, Jesus wants to hone in and say, but where do you lie? And the power of that statement cannot be lost on us as a congregation. Jesus asks the disciples first, who do people say that I am? And they respond with the very Jewish answer. Could be John the Baptist, because John the Baptist came baptizing and fiery and kind of out there in the wilderness. He could be Elijah. Everybody knows he's from the Old Testament prophets, or Jeremiah, a very traditional, national, religious, this is who I think he is. And finally he says, yes, I understand that, but what about you? There's a couple of things that I want us to get out of that I think are really important. The first one is that Jesus says, you are important. I want to ask you that question. You see, you can't just say that, well, because we're Americans, because we're United Methodists, because we're people that live in the Mid-Ohio Valley, this is our answer. This is our response. We get carried along on this wave of evangelistic fervor. We're just carried along with everybody else. We have a heritage of faith, and so I just get carried along. And Jesus says, I need you to answer this question. It isn't just what the crowd is saying, it's what you are saying. How do you answer that question? And not just here on Sunday morning. It's really easy to answer it when you're surrounded by stained glass and you're surrounded by beautiful music and people that believe the same. What do you believe when you are surrounded in Caesarea Philippi by people who don't believe what you believe, who live differently, who sometimes are even antagonistic? What do you say then? Is it as easy to answer that question? What about you? Jesus says, you matter to me. Your answer matters. Not what the public says, but what you matter. Christians are made. They're not just born. You just don't, because you were born in this time and in this area, you just naturally get carried along. Even your church membership has its limitations. Are you being carried along in a process that's helping you to grow to know who he is? The second thing that really matters is Jesus says, your choice matters to me. Not only do you matter, but what you think matters. Our relationship matters. You see, a relationship is an intimate one-on-one dynamic. It's about what you believe about who Jesus is and what you actually do about it. The choices that you make say so much more about who you are. You probably know, especially as we always get around election time, that you often have people that will get up and say things are often contradictory in public in order to win votes, in order to appear to be good or righteous, or to be favoring one party or another. Jesus says your choice is important. And I love the way Peter responds to that. He says, you are the Messiah, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. He said, surrounded by all of these temples, you are the God of all God. You are the living God. Not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the living God. You are his anointed. And I believe that even with the limitation of what he knew, that was the path that he had chosen. And Jesus' response to his choice is to say, Simon, son of Jonah, which is his historic affirmation of his traditional religious core, I'm going to change that. You are now Peter. You're the rock. It's an individual relationship that he is opening up to all of us. And I want you to think about this morning, Jesus changing your name. Having that one-on-one relationship of changing your identity from just being a part of the crowd to being an individual that he has called to a special time and a special mission. Feel God's joy of hearing your affirmation. But the most important thing is, even though Peter didn't fully understand, Jesus said, this is the beginning of true discipleship. What is the purpose and the mission of our fellowship but to develop discipleship, to transform us into the image of Christ? Jesus said, after this affirmation, then Jesus began to explain to them the ongoing journey of suffering in Jerusalem. Peter had made a commitment to Christ. He had made that covenant. You are the Messiah. Now let me explain to you what that is. You see, at the very end, Peter makes this amazing statement. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you've got it right. This was revealed from heaven to you. Now don't tell anybody what you know. This is called messianic secrecy. Jesus says, you have the words, you just don't have the experience yet to back it up. You need to go deeper. And sometimes I wonder, do we have the right words, but not the right experience to go with it? We haven't struggled enough. We haven't gone deeper to know what it's like to follow Jesus all the way to the cross, to experience that kind of suffering, that kind of anxiety, and yet have him come back in full force. It's the beginning of discipleship, the beginning of a journey that's based on a personal relationship. I want to end with this quote by David Hunt, because before us lays this choice. The choice we face is not, as many imagine, between heaven and hell. Rather, the choice is between heaven and this world. Even a fool would exchange hell for heaven. But only the wise will exchange this world for heaven. Jesus takes his disciples and he surrounds them with the opulence of Caesarea Philippi, the glory of Rome, all of the temples, the popular culture that is going on at that time. And he says, now tell me, what about you? What will you choose? The experience that you've had with Jesus, the miracles, the teaching, the understanding of his authority? Or are you just going to choose to go with the crowd? What about you? This morning, we take this journey into Holy Week to say, what does that really mean to welcome him into our lives? It means not to just come and say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, but also to hear him from the cross say, it is finished. It is over. And then to hear Mary on that Easter morning be overwhelmed with emotion as she says, "My Lord." The challenge for us this morning is to deep, intimately face that question. Who do you say that I am? On a day-to-day, in-and-out, living experience. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son. He has come into our lives and we've welcomed him joyfully. We pray, O God, that you will continue to use us, to teach us, and to guide us in your ways as we take this journey into Holy Week. Help us, O God, to remain steadfast. In Jesus' name, amen.